Day 459 Wednesday, July 3rd 2 Kings 17, 341 and 2 Kings 18, 912, 2 Kings 17, 341 NKJV Shalmaneser king of Assyria came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal, and paid him tribute money. And the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up, and bound him in prison. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land, and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria, and placed them in Halah and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right, and they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah, by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." Nevertheless they would not hear, but stiffened their necks, like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal, and they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of plunderers, until he had cast them from his sight. For he tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord, and made them commit a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam which he did. They did not depart from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. And it was so, at the beginning of their dwelling there, that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land, therefore he has sent lions among them, and indeed, they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land." Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Send there one of the priests whom you brought from there, let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land." Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own, and put them in the shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made. Every nation in the cities where they dwelt, the men of Babylon made Sukkot-Binoth, the men of Cuth made Nergal, the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nidhas and Tardak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in fire to Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord, and from every class they appointed for themselves priests of the high places, who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances, or the law and commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord, who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes, the ordinances, the law, and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods, and the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods, but the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. 2 Kings 18, 9-12 NKJV. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser king of Assyria came up against Samaria and besieged it, and at the end of 3 years they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is, the ninth year of Hoshea king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria, and put them in Hala and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. Daily Deep Dive. The UCG reading plan states, the destruction and removal of the northern kingdom finally arrives. God had given Israel ample warning and exhortation to repent through his prophets. 2 Kings 17:13. But sadly, they would not heed. As was explained in the highlights for 2 Kings 15:29-31, Israel's last king, Hoshea, was initially installed in office as an Assyrian puppet ruler in the wake of the Assyrian campaign ending in 732 BC, yet he turned out to be an unreliable puppet. For when the Assyrian emperor Tiglath-Pileser III was forced to return to Mesopotamia to deal with turmoil in the state of Babylonia, Hoshea proclaimed himself free of Assyrian suzerainty, looking to the growing power of Egypt at this time as a possible counterweight to Assyrian dominance in the region. Upon Tiglath's death in 727, he was succeeded by his son Shalmaneser V. For 2 years, the new emperor remained occupied with the Babylonian uprisings his father's last years had been consumed with. But then, in 725, the fourth year of Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18:9, Shalmaneser moved west to regain control over Syrophoenicia and Philistia, which included Israel. Hoshea was again subjugated to Assyria and forced to pay tribute. 2 Kings 17:3. But then Shalmaneser discovered that the Israelite ruler was plotting against Assyria with Egypt. Hoshea had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt. Verse 4. According to Egyptian history as presently understood, there was a strong new leader in Egypt, Pharaoh Tefnacht, founder of its 24th dynasty, Asorkan IV of overlapping dynasty 22, believed by many to be king, so of the Bible was, apparently his i.e., Tefnacht's, vassal, Eugene, Merrill Kingdom, of Priests 19, 87 page, 415, in retaliation, Shalmaneser laid siege to Samaria. The powerful Israelite capital withstood the assault for 3 grueling years, but it finally fell in 722 BC. It is not clear at what point Hoshea was thrown into prison, either at the beginning of the siege or the final fall of the city. However, the fact that his reign is reckoned until 722 would seem to support the latter conclusion. Sargon, Shalmaneser's field commander, who would succeed him as king later the same year, as Sargon II, would claim responsibility for the conquest of Samaria, but the Bible doesn't name him in the account of its fall. Indeed, credit for victory at the time would actually have gone to Shalmaneser, as he was the king, not Sargon. Samaria was thereafter made an Assyrian province. Israel's captivity. Then, in Israel's second mass deportation, the remainder of the northern kingdom's populace was captured and taken away. Sargon claims to have carried away 27,290 people. Yet this was only a tiny fraction of the total population of the remnant of the northern kingdom. It is likely that many more had already been carried away under Shalmaneser, and many more had died in battle or from starvation and disease during the Assyrian siege, and perhaps many before that had fled and migrated to other lands. We should further understand from history that Samaria was not utterly and absolutely vanquished at this point. Shalmaneser died in 722 BC and Sargon took the throne of Assyria. In 720 he faced a new uprising in Babylonia. After it, Sargon then immediately moved west to subdue a large Syro-Palestinian coalition led by Hamath. In Syria, he retook Damascus and even Samaria, now considered an Assyrian province, and demanded a reaffirmation of Judah's loyalty by the payment of a heavy tribute. A footnote says that Samaria was thus taken twice. He then moved through Ekron and Gaza to the very borders of Egypt. Finally, he turned back north to Tyre and completed the siege of that stronghold which Shalmaneser had undertaken 5 years before in 725 inches. Merrill, pages 408-409. Another source, explaining the same events, says that the conquest of Samaria in 722 did not prevent a further rebellion in Palestine and Syria in 720 BC. Also with Egyptian encouragement, Sargon reacted immediately and in a campaign along the coast of the Holy Land conquered Gaza and Raphia. He inflicted defeat upon the Egyptian force sent to aid another rebel, the king of Gaza. In consequence, Sargon received tribute from Egypt, and even from the Arabians. Samaria, too, that is, what was left of it, was involved in this rebellion, and in order to prevent its recurrence, Sargon then, in 720, began extensive shifts of populations within his provinces. Many of the inhabitants of the Kingdom of Israel were exiled to distant regions of the Assyrian Empire. Yohanan Aharani and Michael Aviyuna, The Macmillan Bible Atlas, 1977, page 97. In the prior deportation under Tiglath-Pileser, 733-732 BC, the people had been carried to Assyria in northern Mesopotamia, to Hala, Haber, Hara, and the River of Gozan, 1 Chronicles 5:26, in what is now southeast Turkey, northeast Syria and northern Iraq. Yet notice where the Israelites of this second deportation were relocated, in Hala and by the Haber, the River of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, 2 Kings 17:6, 2 Kings 18:11, ancient media. On the south side of the Caspian Sea in what is today northwest Iran, was a long way east of Assyria. And notice this additional detail from the first century Jewish historian Josephus. The king of Assyria besieged Samaria 3 years and quite demolished the government of the Israelites, and transplanted all the people into Media and Persia. Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9, Chapter 14, Sec 1. Persia was just south of Media. Thus, those in the first Israelite captivity were taken primarily to locations in Assyria. A decade later, some of those in the second captivity were resettled in the same areas. However, it appears that the vast majority of those in the second captivity were marched right through these Assyrian areas on a great journey east, and then resettled in Media and Persia. The Assyrians had only recently conquered these latter regions. They were thus unavailable for resettlement at the time of Israel's first deportation. Amazingly, we can trace the progenitors of the peoples of Northwest Europe, the Celts and Scythians, to these very locations where the Israelite captives were resettled. Indeed, the Celts and Scythians first appear in secular history in these very places and at the very same time that Israel was taken into captivity. And this only makes sense, for they are, in fact, the same people. The Israelites were never regathered to the Promised Land. Instead, their descendants later trekked from the areas of their captivity, in a centuries-long migration, into Northwest Europe. To learn more, request or download our free booklet The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Following Israel's final deportation, the Bible states, there was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. 2 Kings 17:18. To clarify, the Hebrew word for tribe here, Sebut, can mean an entire nation with more than one tribe. Compare Jeremiah 51 hours and 19 minutes, New Revised Standard Version. And in fact it must mean that here, since the kingdom of Judah included, besides Jews, a significant number of Benjamites and Levites. The point is, there was none left but the nation of Judah alone. While there may have been a few hangers-on, the northern tribes of Israel were gone. Resettlement of Samaria. The Assyrian form of captivity consisted primarily of population displacement. Israel had been removed from the land and placed in cities north and east around the Caspian Sea, but the land of Israel was not left unpopulated. Instead, peoples from other nations were brought in. The repopulating of the land with non-Israelites did not occur all at once right after the Israelites were taken into captivity. It began at this time. Of Samaria Sargon said, the town I rebuilt better than it was before and settled therein peoples from countries which I myself had conquered. Daniel Luckenbill, Ancient Records of Assyria and Babylonia, 1927, Volume 2, Part 4, Sargon's annals, and we do know that Sargon began extensive shifts in the population of his provinces, as was mentioned in the highlights for our previous reading, but there are other indications from history and scripture that the bulk of resettlement did not take place for several decades. Ezra 4, 2 and verse 10 mention this task as having been carried out by the Assyrian kings Esarhaddon, 681-668 BC, and Osnapar, generally identified as Esarhaddon's son and successor Ashurbanipal 668-626 BC, both of whom reigned during the days of Hezekiah's son Manasseh. History, as mentioned, also helps us understand what happened. The cities listed in 2 Kings 17:24 as the places of origin of the foreigners were in the Assyrian-controlled areas of Syria and Babylonia, Babylon being the principal place named, while Babylon, the holy city of pagan Western Asia, had been the crown jewel of the Assyrian Empire. It nevertheless served as a constant headache for the Assyrian rulers. Over the past few decades, the state of Babylonia had erupted in rebellion several times. Notice the following about the early reign of the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser III, 745-727 BC. The turmoil in Babylonia was of long standing but had been exacerbated by the arrival of Aramean immigrants, who, with the native stock, created a formidable political entity known as Kaldu, equals Chaldeans. Eventually this would give rise to the Neo-Babylonian Empire, Merrill, Kingdom of Priests, page 393. It was the Neo-Babylonian Empire that would eventually take Judah into captivity, but it would not appear for some time. Tiglath's son Shalmaneser V, 727-722 BC, also had to deal with the Babylonian problem. Then, upon his death following the final overthrow of Samaria, the problem exploded once again. Assyria was now under the rule of the usurper Sargon II, 722-705 BC. Sargon's accession prompted numerous uprisings throughout the empire. In 720 he began to address these problems by engaging an alliance of Elamites and Babylonians at Dur, Bedrae, 80 miles northeast of Babylon. He was probably defeated, though each side claims victory. The leader of the Babylonian forces was none other than Marduk Aplaidina, Meridach Baladan in the Bible, see Isaiah 39, Merrill, page 408. Meridach Baladan, of the Sealands dynasty, had led the Babylonians in past conflicts with Assyria, yet the previous year, he became the actual king of Babylon. The fact that he remained king until 710 supports the conclusion that the Babylonians probably won the Battle of 720, or at least secured a draw. It is interesting to note that they were allied with Elamites in their fight against Assyria, for Elam was ancient Persia, the location to which much of the remnant of the northern kingdom of Israel had been moved only 2 years prior. Might there, then, have been Israelites fighting alongside the Babylonians against the Assyrians at that time? It is certainly possible. Sargon returned to Damascus and Samaria immediately after this battle to put down a new rebellion throughout the Syrophoenician region, as we saw in the highlights for the previous reading. Perhaps, though failing to depose Meridach Baladan in Babylon, he had managed to capture a great many Babylonians at this time and transferred them to Syria and Israel. Meridach would be removed from office 10 years later but would reclaim the kingship for a short time in 703 BC before being put down by the Assyrians again. The back-and-forth struggle between Assyria and the Chaldeans of Babylonia would eventually lead to Babylon being sacked by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, 705-681 BC. In 689, we would expect this sacking to have been followed by massive deportation. And indeed, as shown above, scripture does corroborate the fact that Babylonian peoples were moved into Israel and Syria in the years after the sacking occurred by Esarhaddon and Ashurbanipal. Syria is included here because mention is made in scripture of resettlement taking place not just in Samaria but in other places beyond the river. Ezra 4:10, meaning from the perspective of those east of the Euphrates. Compare verse 11, thus indicating the whole of Syria and Phoenicia. This makes sense because the Assyrians had deported not just the Israelites but also the original Syrians, the Aramaeans, having taken many of them far north to Kir at the time of Israel's first deportation. 2 Kings 16, 9, see Amos 1, 5. Esarhaddon's records even state that after he destroyed the Phoenician city of Sidon, he restocked it with people from Mesopotamia. Considering the events in Samaria described in 2 Kings 17, it is likely that the problem with wild animals, verse 25, happened early on when there were few settlers, probably in the time of Sargon. Whatever the case, The problem caused these settlers to conclude that they were not worshipping the local territorial god properly, so they arranged for one of the priests of Bethel to return and show them how to properly worship the god of the land. This resulted in a form of religion that mixed elements of the law of God, as corrupted by the apostate northern kingdom, with numerous forms of paganism. While these people in a sense feared the Lord, verses 32, 33, 41, this was really only superstition, lip service and rituals, for they nevertheless served their own gods. Verse 33, in fact, verse 34 says they did not fear the Lord, that is, not really. What a bizarre turn of events this was, in light of the fact that the precise reason God eventually caused the downfall of Israel and then Judah was their corruption of the religion he gave them. Clearly at work was the unseen hand of the God of this world, Satan the devil, ever active in deceiving the masses away from the true God. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, Revelation 12, 9. Descendants of these people were still in the land to cause grief to the Jews when they were permitted to return from Babylonian captivity, and some of these imported peoples continue in the land of Israel to the present day. By the time of Christ they had come to be called Samaritans, after the land of Samaria, yet the Jews have also referred to them as Cuthites, after one of their lands of origin. These people worshipped then as now at Mount Gerizim. Compare John 4 verses 20 to 21. Over time they conformed many of their teachings and practices to the Jews who returned from Babylon, having received from them the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, and they began copying it and passing it down themselves. The Samaritan Pentateuch is often used for comparison purposes, especially in producing new Bible versions. Yet while the Samaritans embraced much of the truth, their religion was still terribly corrupted with their former paganism. Indeed, there appears to be a connection between the Samaritans and the rise of a great counterfeit Christianity centered in Rome yet derived from the Babylonian mystery religion. See Revelation 17. Mixing the true worship of God and the knowledge about Christ with the ancient pagan practices of the Babylonian Samaritans, particularly under the early leadership of Simon the Sorcerer. Acts 8, 9. We will see more connections between the Babylonian Samaritans and Rome in the highlights for our next reading. Comment and